Please open your Bibles with me on Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses from there. It's a bit of long reading, but it's an amazing reading. And if you open your Bibles with me, we're going to read it together. Starting from the verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through folly and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the eternal, elemental, spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, with which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, growth as God caused it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belonged to the world, do you still submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus that you gave for us. And I pray that Holy Spirit, you will come and take your place. Fill every one of us, each of us, with the power of your Spirit. and with the joy of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice, not mine. Help us to see you, Lord, not me. Help us, Lord, to meet with you face to face today. I want us, Lord, to hear from you and be changed, going from this place with the joy, with the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great scripture. I love it. And I would reread it many times because it's talking about Jesus. And he's the one who brought us back to life. He's the one who's still walking with us. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you something which is not really relevant to our, you know, talk today. You see, when Holy Spirit takes over, he just does his own way, his own things. Are you familiar with the designer cloth? Suddenly, everybody gone quiet. Come on, guys, you live in London, and London is one of those places where people boast about, you know, design clothes. And you've got these different, you know, brands. Can you name me any? Don't worry, people won't notice you. So, Lacoste, brilliant. Lacoste. I know Johnny likes Lacoste, but he doesn't have enough money to buy one, so I was trying to buy for him. Oh, you have? Okay, brilliant. He's a rich man. Any other? Any other? Father, okay. Barbara, sorry. Any other? Gucci. Who said Gucci? Brilliant. Chanel. Is that you said? Oh, you said Chanel. Okay. Any more? Ralph Lauren? Yeah? Ralph Lauren is not very popular at the moment because it's gone everywhere. Any more? One more? Adidas. Oh, yeah, okay. It's a good brand, but not that brand. Lozavita. Okay, the other one. Right, wonderful. I'm not familiar with all of those stuff, but you can spot those all rich people in your congregation. Okay, so these are all rich people who know what do they buy. Okay, but I am rich too, so I wanted to boast a little bit today, and I brought something that I wanted to show off to you. And if we have, I don't know where's the. Is that here? Is this the one? Yeah, okay. Are you familiar with this brand? It's called Hermes. Or Hermes. I don't know. People call it differently. Hermes. Okay, thank you. This guy is very rich. Okay. He knows it. Okay, and this particular brand makes lots of belts and bags and apparently, and this particular belt that on the screen is costs about 2,500 plus pounds, and I've got one. You can see it. It's beautiful, real leather. I can boast that I have a belt for £2,500. It's amazing, isn't it? Would you like to touch it? No chance. I wouldn't let you to touch it. But just if you want to just for me to bring it closer to you. Don't touch it, but just... Okay? Is that okay? Yeah, you can touch here. Okay. Good. It's very precious. I've only worn this a few times, but not much. And it's really good. And those people who are in brands, they would definitely buy this because it's one of the, you know, top brands that people will wear a cloth from them. But I must say that you know, if you are not, and we know that there are lots of other brands as well, but I don't know if you've seen these brands in the shop or not. Are you familiar with this or not? That's why you are actually amazed to see that on my hand, holding 2,500 pounds belt in my hand, and I'm going across the country asking people to support us. Okay, somebody would say, why don't you sell your belt and I support you? Okay. But you wouldn't know that actually this belt is fake. Oh. Can I have our? Oh. Oh. Thank you. I'm so sorry to disappoint you, but I really don't have 2,500 to give it the belt. I wouldn't give, even if I had it, I wouldn't buy a belt for 2,500. But you would never notice this being fake if you are not familiar with the brand. And if you are even familiar, you wouldn't even, at that point, you wouldn't notice, because this is a really, really good make. Okay. And I purchased this in Turkey. Have you ever been in Turkey? There are lots, I can see the head shaking over there. There are lots of shops in Turkey, in different places, that you get just go and they are just like Bista Village. Are you familiar with Bista Village? Okay, I heard about that. So you just think that everything is brand, Burberry, Gucci, Hermes, everything is there, and they are very, very, very cheap. I remember I was traveling with one of the pastors a few years back, and we were walking on these, into these shops, and he was seeing these, belts and other things, and he was screaming on top of his voice. He was saying, "It's cheap, cheap, cheap." And I said, "If you shout one more time, it will be more expensive." Okay? And they are really looking for foreigners to sell it for a good price. Okay. And we had a chance to go to those shops with Johnny as well. So he was tempted to buy some of the stuff. And I won't tell you what he bought for him to be able to boast with his brand. Okay? And now, as I wear clothes, he's asking me, is that brand or a fake? Okay. And if you go actually, buy stuff from that shop, they would never say that it's fake. They would say it's a genuine fake. Okay, it's really genuine because they make from the real products, leather, and they just they don't have the authority to sell it on official shops. What is that to do with our talk today? I mean, if you look at the scripture here, it's written to Colossians. Paul wrote the letter to Colossians. Colossians were located about 100 miles from Ephesus, where we'd just been with Johnny. And these people were a small group of Christians, people who gave their lives to Christ and faithfully were following him. But as you see from the scripture, you can sense from the scripture that Paul was worried about their faith, because their faith was drifted away from Christ, from their faith, okay? And their faith in Jesus, and now you can see from the scripture we've just read, that their faith in Jesus was replaced with deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ, he says there. They were judged by what they were eating, what were they drinking, with regards to religious festivals and all sorts of stuff. And you can understand them, because they were living in the world and interacting with the world. As they were interacting with the world, they were impacted by the world. And it's same thing happens to us as well. As we're leaving this world, as soon as we get out of this building, we interact with this world. And this world, but that we see things in this world, they impact our lives. Okay? And whether we like or not, we were just standing here this morning and praising the Lord, and our faith was somewhere at the top of our voice. And then as soon as we get out and then somebody drives his car on us, and we suddenly forget Jesus. Okay, and as we interact with this world, there are challenges that we face. There are things that we are experiencing, like we try to match up with this world. For example, some people would like to buy a brand cloth to be noted, noted from the crowd. Some people would like still to read horoscope. You know, I don't know why am I saying this, but I feel that there is somebody in the congregation still believes in horoscopes. And I just, a matter of interest, I just, you know, I never read the horoscope. I don't believe. Am I saying rightly? Horoscope, is that right? Okay. I thought I'm not saying the right, you know, right thing. It's one of the 12 signs of zodiac. This is what I read. Okay, and this is just a matter of interest. I read this morning. I was searching to see what would come up, and there's something come up saying, "Gemini horoscope for today. It's very important for you to be frugal right now. Resist dining out. Steer clear of the male and of the mall, and avoid the friend of yours who loves living life on credit. You can survive being accused of being cheap. And your ego doesn't need material goods to be healthier," and so on and so on. Why, these are the stuff that we are interacting in this world, and these things affecting us. And then Paul, in this scripture, reminds us as Christians to go back to Jesus, to understand that our life is not depend on horoscope. Our life is not depend on the rules of this world. Our life is not depend on the society that we live and that they teach us how to live our life. Our life depends on Jesus. And he describes here beautifully that Jesus is the one who died for you, who came from heaven. He gave his life for you, and he's ready to help you. He's ready to walk with you. He's ready to dare to bless you, but you still drift away from him, thinking that you are independent. But we are not independent. The scripture in Colossians, just in the first chapter, says that the Son, chapter 1, 15 and 17, said that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in all things he holds everything in his hand. So that basically Paul says, listen, whether you like or not, whether you're Christian or Muslim, whether you are white or black, it doesn't depend on that. You are all, including creation, everything that you see, everything that you can't see, but you know that exists. They have been created through Jesus, for Jesus. If Jesus is not, if we take Jesus away from the scene, this world will disappear. So he basically says that the light that helps us to still be alive comes from Jesus. If you take all these leads out of these sockets, all these, you know, equipments, all this computer and a light, everything will go off. This is what Paul is saying. We are all connected to Jesus. Even those who hate Jesus, but they don't understand that actually they exist because of Jesus. Our root is Jesus. All creation, everybody, stands on Jesus. And how gracious is this Jesus that still continues to hold everybody on him, even those who hate him, even those who think that they are from different planet. We just read the scripture about Paul reminding us about our faith. There's a challenging words in the book of James, and James was a straight man. He wasn't British at all. You know, I found out that the British culture is is very kind, and then in order to try to get to the point, they go around the M25 five times, and then you get to the point. But James is not like that. He's straight, and he says, what good is it if you have faith but don't have any deeds? You have faith that you recognize your faith being identified you as a Christian, but in reality, you are not actually living out your faith. You're not actually using your faith. You've received this faith and you've become a Christian. You go to the church and then take part in different events, but in reality, what is happening with your faith? Do you still use that faith? Or you've got that faith, but it's fake, like this belt. And he questions and he challenges and he says, how good is it? Is it real? Do you still use that faith? Well, we believe that we have that faith that be given to us not because of our deeds. And the scripture in Ephesians says that for it is by God's grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. God has given us faith, which is an incredible faith. But we've forgotten about that faith. We have that faith in our house on the shelf. We just refer to our faith when we hit something with our health issues or with a problem, with something that we suddenly think, oh yes, I've got a faith, I'm going to pray now. And we use that faith as a pill, as a medicine, to take that faith and then take it as soon as everything is sorted. We forget about our faith. But this faith is not a medicine. It's not a pill. Faith has been given to us by the blood of Jesus. Jesus died for this faith to be given to us. There's no religion, there's no organization in this world can have the same faith, because this faith is an incredible faith. This faith is a powerful faith. This faith gives you a power to move the mountains from their own places. And Jesus says that you can do that. And you will do more than I've ever done with this faith if you start using it. It is possible. And if you start using this faith, if you start living with this faith, you would be able to walk on the water. I don't know if you know the description of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It gives us this description of the faith. It says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Basically, he says here that you need to believe to the thing that you can't see, but pretend that it's there, and I believe that it's there. It's crazy, isn't it? It's a crazy faith. That's why people think that we are lunatics. We are not realistic. You see people giving thanks to the Lord, the things that they haven't got, but they believe to, and then you think to yourself, be realistic a little bit. But this is not that kind of the faith that God has called us to be. He called us to believe on unrealistic, but existing things. So where's your faith? We agreed that I can challenge you. Where is your faith? Have you been able to walk on the water? Or you would say, no, it's not possible today. It is possible. Have you been able to walk on the street and somebody was healed from your shadow? I'm sure you have got so many testimonies. If I start digging a bit down, you can tell me the stories of faith that you experienced in your life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You would say those occasions to me. But they are just occasions in our lives. But they are not continuing, because as soon as we clear off the church, go home and have our dinner and relax, and then next morning we go to work, our faith stays with the church. And we face different rules different world. But God has called us to take this faith to the places that we go, interact with these people. We work with these people that we've just spoken to you. And these people that we serve through our ministry. And I wanted to introduce you a few of them. It's a Pastor Yusuf and his wife, and this is Pastor Bahram and his family, and this is Pastor Eldar and his family. They used to go to Iran and preach the gospel, and until 3 years ago they got arrested, and then they were taken to prison. And then after all these prayers, they were released on bail and they came back to Azerbaijan. They live in Azerbaijan now. But court wanted them to go back to Iran, but they didn't. But court, sentenced them for 10 years of imprisonment in Iran. They are wanted now in Azerbaijan, but they're still in Azerbaijan. So it's a neighboring country. We were thinking and praying for these people that they would leave somewhere else and be safe. But they said, no, we can't. Because God has called us to serve these people here, and we will continue to serve these people. And we believe in God who is able to protect us. And they basically wake up every morning and praise the Lord. They are still around. And they carry on doing the ministry. And these are the four pastors. One of them is in prison. The guy with the spectacles. He's an Iranian pastor. He was put in prison for 10 years. He's in prison now. We're praying for him. His name is Nasir. And if you are in names, please put his name on your notes and then pray for him. And for these people, other pastors who are serving in Azerbaijan. So we were talking about Iranian congregation who are meeting there and then learning God's word. And then we go there and then baptize these people. And this is the lady whose name is Perry. She doesn't have any money, but she goes street by street, meets with Iranians on the street, and then brings them to church, and then leads them to Christ. We're trying to raise finances for her. She had some support that we were providing for her, but it's coming to the end this month. And we're looking for 5 people who would give £50 per month to support this lady and the work, incredible work that she's doing there. Every time we do this teaching, and Johnny saw this, after every session, all this congregation just comes, everybody together, piles up here in front of us, and ask us to pray for them. Some of them speak Azeri, some of them speak Turkish, but some of them can't speak any other languages. I mean, apart from Farsi, they can't speak English or other languages, and they can't communicate with us. What do? They just translate whatever they want us to pray for them on their phones, and then come up with the phone and say, read this, and then pray. And as we pray for them, we don't need to pray a long prayer. We just say, in Jesus' name, be healed, and that's it. It's immediate, instant healing, because they put their faith on Jesus. We tend to be relaxed. We tend to search for alternative. Praise the Lord for NHS in this country. As soon as if some of us gets unwell, we'd pick up the phone and then phone the GP to make an appointment. But where's your faith? Where's the scripture says, seek God first, and then everything else will be given to you. If we are facing difficulty and are thinking about alternative and referring to alternative, our faith will remain dead on the shelf. In those circumstances, in any circumstances, Paul encourages us to refer to faith, which is powerful, which is amazing. And that's why these people's faith is working. There was a lady, and I will finish with this. Last time we were there, and she had these tinnitus in her ear. Sorry. Tinnitus, yeah. This is a new word that I'm trying to learn. Okay. And as she was suffering about 6 years, and the last time I was there with my wife and children, and she prayed for her one ear, and then that disappeared, and she was over the moon. This time we went there, and then she said, she came, and then she ran to me. She said, where's your wife? I said, well, she didn't come with me. She said, I wanted her to pray for my other ear, because I'm still have this, noise in my ear. And I can't sleep. I've been suffering for 6 years. And this one has disappeared. But this one. And I said, well, we'll pray for your ear. Don't worry. I can also pray. So not only my wife is holy, but I can also pray and do perform some miracles. And then at the end of the service, I've forgotten about her, but she was patiently waiting for us. And at about 1 o'clock in the morning, she was still there, standing and waiting. I just saw her and felt so guilty that, you know, I didn't pray for her. Just came towards her, hold her head, between my hands. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I went home because I was tired. She came next morning, you remember. She was sobbing and I'm crying. So this was the first comfortable, nice night that I was able to have. Because I don't have anything anymore in my ears. And there are lots of stories like this. These people don't have NHS. These people don't have any, helps in their own circumstances. Their faith put in Jesus. And they live by their faith. Now, I'm not saying that they are heroes. And for us, it's shame on us that we are not like them. We are all children of God. We are all precious child of the Lord. You are precious child of God who died for you, who gave his life for you, and he's got everything in his hand to share it with you. We've been offered to use our faith. And today Paul is reminding us to use that faith powerfully, because it's a powerful faith. It's a faith that can move the mountains. It's in the scripture. And I wanted to encourage you today to say, Lord, please forgive me. And then please renew me and my spirit and help me to use this faith, this crazy but powerful faith, to change myself and this world. And you would see the weather obeying your prayers. As Elijah was praying, and there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. I would like you to pray about that, particularly in the UK, please. But I wanted to finish with prayer, and I say, in James, he says, what good is it if you have faith, but it's not working? And then he straight away says, if you have a brother or sister comes to you and asks you for food or clothes, but instead of helping them, you say, oh, go with God. God will bless you. Put your trust and hope in God. God will provide. But not doing actually anything with their need. How good is it? God can do lots of things. But how about us? Do we have enough faith to step up, do things? If you feel that you are that person that you would like to step up and do something today, I would like to ask you to pray for that lady on the screen. Her name is Perry, and she needs your support for us to raise a support for her to be able to do the ministry. There is a sign-up sheet that you can put your email and then read our newsletters and then pray for us. And then please do that. And I need to pray now. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your voice. I pray that everything that came from human flesh, human thought, that will be thrown away. But all the things that came from you will remain in our hearts. Today, I want to be a different. Today, I want my faith to work. I want to use this faith powerfully. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help us this morning to be able to take our faith with us every day. And I use it in a powerful way, believing that you are a faithful God. And if we trust you and be patient, then this faith will show up its power. And I pray for our brothers and sisters, particularly for Perry and this Iranian congregation over there. Lord, anything that you want us to do with them, please speak to us this morning. And give us a chance to hear your voice. I pray for them that, Lord, you would protect them, bless them, and help them, Lord, to be able to carry on worshiping you and then saving Muslims' lives in Turkey. We thank you, Jesus. You are our source of life. You are the one that we worship. That's the reason today why we are here. To see you, to hear your voice, to meet with you, to worship you, Lord. You are the one that we believe and love. And we know that you love us too. And we pray that, Lord, you will continue to help us to be strengthened in our faith, to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.